Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 92 of the pod. We're going to be talking all things Disney Star Wars, but with a twist today, a live action character draft for today's episode. Joey and I are both going to be selecting our five favorite Disney Star Wars live action characters. It's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to it very much. The draft episodes are always a blast. Before we get started with any of that, if you are not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel, definitely check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to all of the newest Star Wars shows. Thank you to the 449 of you who are subscribed over there. One away from 450. If you're listening to this, by the way, and you're not yet subscribed, definitely hit that subscribe button. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com. with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can also find the Hoth Hangout Podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it very much. And it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. You can find us on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Check us out over there. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server will be available down in the show notes of today's episode. Head on over there and see everything that it has in store. Again, today we are talking all things Disney Star Wars live action character draft. It's going to be a fun one. And we would begin by posing the question to all of you listening and watching. What is your favorite Disney Star Wars character? Your favorite live-action Disney Star Wars character, perhaps? Again, going to be a fun one today. Always loving the draft episodes. If you're not familiar with our draft format, we do have a playlist of them over on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. But before we get into our discussion about that today, Joey, what's going on, dude? How's it been?
Draft episodes are always my favorite because we get to talk about whatever we want. We have... It doesn't matter who we choose ever. I mean, these are low stakes kind of episodes, but it's just a fun thing to do. So I'm always excited to talk drafts. You know, you and I are both sports fans. By the way, shout out to the Olympics. I don't know if you've been watching a ton of it.
Oh yeah,
For me to care about a sport like volleyball, no offense to anybody that really loves volleyball, but at the national level, just makes me so proud to watch. USA volleyball, you know, or table tennis, just anything. I will consume every single moment of this. So, but yeah, getting back to the draft. Yeah, this is always a fun episode. Like I said last week, it's always fun to have this little break between shows because we can kind of dig in deep into our brains here to figure out what we're going to talk about every episode.
Speaking of the Olympics, by the way, shout out to Snoop Dogg. I mean, if you ever listen to this podcast, Snoop Dogg, you've been carrying the entertainment value, the entertainment factor.
he could be subscriber 450. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Did I tell you I watched a video? Not to get too far off topic, but did I tell you I watched a video from the last Olympics where Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart are watching equestrian together? And it is one of the funniest things you'll ever see. If you're listening out there and you haven't seen that, definitely check it out. It's worth a really good laugh. So
I'm gonna watch that.
Yeah, shout out to everyone competing in the Olympics this year, for not only for the U.S. but also for Australia. You know, shout out to all of our Australians out there.
They could swim, boy. Oh my gosh, there are some swimmers over there in Australia.
We got to represent our Australians with our own fellow Australian here with us as well, with Gibbo.
and they can skateboard too. I didn't even notice that. Golden men's and women's. Yes, we're getting live updates from Gibbo.
Oh man,
but the basketball side. Yeah, me and Gibbo watched the end of the what was it? Australia versus
Serbia, I think.
Serbia. Yes. He wants to move on. Okay. All right.
Gibbo doesn't want to hear about the basketball, but just the skateboarding. Anyways, shout out to the Olympics. Quite a fun time. Get to experience it every 4 years. It's been a fun last two or three weeks or so. So in today's Star Wars news, we've got only one piece for you today, but it's a cool one. Well, I guess depending on how you define cool, because it's an expensive one too. Hondo and Lando Calrissian were announced recently that they are going to be in Star Wars Outlaws, the game that debuts at the end of this month on August 30th. This sounds great. And then you kind of learn more about this, and then you'll read a bit and you'll understand that this is only available with the season pass of the game. If you don't know what that means, this game costs $70 at base value. The season pass is only available at the, I think it's the deluxe and the gold edition. The deluxe edition costs $110 for one video game, and the gold edition costs $130 for one video game, because the season pass is only included with those two more less cost-effective versions of the game. So the Hondo and Lando DLCs will be released separately, the first of which is going to be the Lando DLC set for the fall of 2024, where the main character in the video game, KVS, is going to run into Lando in a Sabacc tournament. And then the second one is set for the spring of 2025, where Hondo will be featured looking to settle old scores with the main character, KVS. So, I mean, this is cool, but at the same time, it's like, man, that is a lot of money to pay for, you know, like just basically a character appearance, maybe a side mission in a game. It has not also been released what the standalone prices for buying these separate DLC missions will be. That information is still unknown. But at the current time, if you want to play this, or experience these two characters in the game, you're looking at a minimum of $110. Joey, is this a bigger turnoff for the game for you? I mean, we already weren't too crazy about the price anyways.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're getting an idea of what's going to be included with it, because I think we knew the price for a while now. Mm-hmm. And with the introduction of a season pass into the game, we knew that those different levels or those different editions of the game will exist with that season pass. Now at least we have a little bit of context about what it's going to include. I know, like you mentioned, they'll have the Lando scene. I don't know exactly as much. They know how to grab at me, because obviously I'm a big Lando fan, so I'm thinking, do I gotta buy it now? And we know that I think from previous updates that there's going to be a Jabba the Hutt type of mission as well, so that will be included in that early season pass. Now, I'm curious, and I missed this part, if the Hondo missions is going to be included in this initial season pass, or is that something we're going to have to buy later on top of whatever this is, like currently, you know, at the launch on August 30th.
Ooh, that'd be even more of a dicey situation. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and with the Jabba thing, too, there's a specific mission centered around Jabba that is only going to be available with that season pass as well. I guess it was confirmed recently or clarified that Jabba is going to be in the game itself, and you'll somehow be able to interact with him, but that the mission won't be available unless it's with the season pass. So, I don't know. More about this game just kind of is like, well... And you know, lately I feel like I've been hearing things that are slightly more on the negative side about it, and I don't know, I'm getting a little nervous about this game. You and I talked about maybe we'll do something, you know, like a playthrough or something here on the channel. So comment down below, I guess, if you want to see us do that, and if we can do something that lasts more than 3 episodes of a playthrough. Shout out to Jedi Survivor.
At that price, we better be finishing that entire thing.
Yeah, exactly, but. Anyways, let us know in the comments and on the socials. Are you planning on buying Star Wars Outlaws? Are you excited about this game? What are your thoughts going into it? Let us know in the comments. Speaking of comments, we had one this week that we wanted to showcase from a previous week's episode, from episode 91. This comment is, of course, from Spy on Sports, a frequenter of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Thanks again, Spy on Sports, for your message here. Spy on Sports said, I don't mind the tie-ins across these Disney shows as long as the plot lines are not dominated by tie-ins and crossovers. See Mando mini season within the Book of Boba Fett. Yeah, I feel that. I'm looking forward to Skeleton Crew. Big fan of Jude Law's work. If they somehow work Sidious into the show, will they rename it Skeletor Crew? And if the same folks at Lucasfilm that don't feel good about Skeleton Crew are the ones that did feel good about the Acolyte, then I'm not worried about Skeleton Crew at all. I mean, that's kind of what we talked about last week in our Skeleton Crew episode. It's like, is the fact that the people who really pushed the Acolyte and didn't have concerns about it, that they're worried about Skeleton Crew, does that mean their expectations are just backwards? Or does that mean Skeleton Crew is actually that much, like, I guess, worse than the Acolyte? You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think?
I think you and I are the optimistic kind. We are hoping that it's the one where, okay, they really didn't like, or they really, you know, miscalculated Acolyte, and now they're going to go the other way, and it's going to be I almost call it Skeletor Crew. Skeleton Crew is actually going to be good. So that's what we're hoping. There were, again, last week when we were doing some of our analysis on Skeleton Crew, we did see that there's some rumors out there that the higher ups at Lucasfilms are not liking it. So I don't know. We'll see. We really will see in the next, what is it, a couple of months now, that when Skeleton Crew comes out, if we're actually going to have just another type of Acolyte show that is worse, or maybe something that is, you know, I'm really hoping that it's a nice little holiday type of feel with the Goonies / Stranger Things, you know, comparison. I'm hoping that that's what it's going to be, but I don't know anymore, man. I honestly don't.
Yeah, I feel like the optimistic route here in this case is kind of hinting it. I mean, if you take the route of optimism, it also implies that Disney executives are out of touch, which I'm kind of okay taking that route a little bit, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it remains to be seen what is going to be of Skeleton Crew, or Skeletor Crew, if you prefer. So yeah, nonetheless, I'm still excited for Skeleton Crew. And for anyone listening to this episode, if you didn't catch last week's episode, we talked all about Skeleton Crew. Check it out. And once again, thank you to Spy on Sports for your comment. And again, anyone listening, feel free to leave a comment on today's episode, and we'd love to showcase them on next week's episode of the podcast. All right. The time has arrived. It is time for one of our favorite things we do here as a podcast, the live action Disney era character draft. This is, of course, not our first draft we've done here on the channel. In all 92 of our episodes, this is the fourth one that has been under a draft format. The previous ones, we did a Jedi draft, we did a Sith draft, and we did a droid draft. We'll link the playlist down in the show notes, as well as at the end of the video version of the podcast if you're watching on YouTube. But essentially how this works is Joey and I alternate back and forth, going with our first pick, second pick, et cetera, until we've both compiled a team of five. It's kind of like part of the process, too, that we don't both. I mean, you alluded to it at the top of the draft, or at the top of the podcast, Joey. Like, when we draft, we don't necessarily do it with the exact same specific criteria in mind. We kind of leave it a little bit open to our own interpretation, and that's kind of part of the process and part of the fun of doing it this way. And so as we go through, we might elaborate more on our criteria, but just, I guess, briefly before we begin, what was your criteria? What was your thought process going into what your favorite five Disney live action characters are?
I basically went through each of the shows, and I plucked a couple of important roles, essentially. So I went through, what, Kenobi, Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Acolyte, Andor. Is that it? Is there five?
I think there's... I think Acolyte is the Boba Fett. And Boba Fett. Yeah.
And Boba Fett. So clearly, with me forgetting that last one, I think I know which show you didn't pick anyone from. You might have realized there's actually there. So I kind of looked through each of those and, you know, picked out some important roles then there. And based off of that, I kind of picked my favorites from there. Now, you and I talked a little bit beforehand about people that are originating in these Disney era shows. Like, let's say Andor, for instance, the Andor show. You know, does Andor, you know, obviously Andor came from, you know, a Disney show, Disney movies from Rogue One. But, you know, if we go at like Kenobi, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi, do those count? So we didn't really specify whether we counted those or not. So I'm going to admit that I did include some of those. I tried not to do too many, but I definitely did include. What about what? How was your process in figuring all this out?
Yeah, my kind of, I guess I took sort of a two-pronged approach. First, I made a list, and I basically was just picking characters from the six TV series and the five movies that I just basically enjoy and like, just from a pure entertainment standpoint. And then I kind of like switched some stuff around, and my process for switching stuff around and putting something in and taking something out was more so about like how I feel about their role as a character in the show. So my list was like pretty much what I like as a character, because each of us, you and I, submitted 10 different characters to Gibbo. Gibbo is the only person at this moment in time who knows exactly what each of our 1 through 10s is, in the instance where like you and I both shared 5 of the same on each of our list, which I guess is unlikely, but could happen. You never know. So all that to say, mostly just characters that I enjoyed, but then also like their impact on their, like the plot of the show and their role in the show. In terms of the criteria you mentioned as well, like being originated from a Disney thing, I tried to not choose ones that originated from non-Disney stuff. Like for example, like you could pick Anakin because he was in Ahsoka. I don't have Anakin on my list for that reason, just because I was like, I don't know. So having said that, I do have one character on my list as well that did not originate from the Disney era. Okay. But I feel like I have a pretty decent balance of movie versus TV show. Most of mine are TV show, but I do have a couple that are movie characters. So I'm excited to kind of get into this and kind of how our draft orders, kind of fluctuate as we each begin to pick more and more characters and less people become available. But in true basketball fashion, because you and I and Gibbo are all big basketball fans, for those that are unfamiliar with how the NBA draft works, that is the National Basketball Association, the professional basketball organization in the US, there is this noise that goes off, right, whenever it's someone's time to pick. And our lovely producer Gibbo has inserted that noise before each of our picks, so you'll be hearing each of that noise throughout the podcast in terms of when it's time for someone to pick. Having said all of that, I guess that was enough of a preface for this draft, but the only thing left to decide is who gets to go first. Joey, I'm trying to remember who went first in the last draft.
Who went first in the last one? I don't remember either. We probably should have checked that out.
I could do a live look in right now as we're okay. As we're getting started. It looks like I went first in the last draft.
Okay,
I picked. we did our favorite droids, and I sheepishly picked General Grievous.
That's right. Yeah.
At my number one pick, so you get to go first in this draft because I went first in the last draft.
I think in that, you know, it seems appropriate with that little sheepish pick that I have my pick at kind of sheepish as well, if you will. Okay. Going with from the Kenobi series. We're going with Obi-Wan Kenobi, baby. We're
just, okay.
Let's just go straight into it. I mean, how do you not pick Obi-Wan? Although let's admit it, you know, he was a little bit battered at the beginning of the series, and but I don't know. This felt like. This felt like true. Maybe this is the parent and me talking. This was true, like Uncle Ben, you know, with Leia and how he had to kind of watch over her over the time. And then even at the end when he saw Luke and did the whole hello there, just that entire thing. And people had problems with how he was portrayed because he was so battered, because, you know, he was kind of he seemed to be weaker than what he was in the past. And I didn't mind it. That it's very much of the kind of the same story arc that I felt like Luke had in Last Jedi, which I also didn't have a problem with. you know, he had been through Order 66. He had gone through all of this. And then the, I mean, just the fight with Vader again. I mean, these are things that I really enjoyed in this particular character. And I'm sorry, it's Obi-Wan. There's no way you don't pick him.
Mm. It's a solid pick. I like it. I can appreciate it. I just love him as a character. He's probably, like, in terms of just favorite Star Wars characters in general, is easily top three for me. So I can't hate on you taking him, because it's a solid pick and one of the best Star Wars characters of all time, obviously. So, all right, I can appreciate that pick. I think for my pick, I got to go with some high value. We're riding the buzz of this character just really jumping into not only the Star Wars mainstream, but into the pop culture mainstream with this pick. And having said that, I got to go with the little green guy, Grogu himself.
Very nice.
Grogu is going to be my number one pick. I mean, what can you say? He literally, like, inserted himself into pop culture. Like, people who don't have a clue what Star Wars is were saying, oh my gosh, Baby Yoda is so cute. So he's got that sort of name brand value as, you know, something that's recognizable even to people who aren't Star Wars fans. But apart from that, he just plays a fundamental role in what most people would probably consider to be one of the best two, if not the best, Star Wars Disney Plus era show. He's lovable, he's cute, and, you know, he's a character that, because he's so young, and we saw where he started, and we kind of got a chance to see just the power he's already grown into during the third season of Mando, and even the second season, you kind of see this arc for this progression of how he could be incorporated into just lots of future Star Wars projects. His relationship with Mando, with Din Djarin, is probably my favorite dynamic of any two characters in any Disney era Star Wars. They just represent something that's really special and really, you know, cute and fun and meaningful, and provides a lot of value to the story of the Mandalorian. So I got to go with Grogu for my number one pick. I'd be sad if I passed up on the little green guy. So that's my number one pick. How about going into our second picks? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I mean, yeah, Grogu, yeah, he was going to get drafted at some point here. I appreciate the pop culture phenomenon that is Grogu. That is a good point that you bring into, you know, people who didn't care anything about Star Wars cared about Baby Yoda or Grogu after a time. So I agree with that. But number two, ooh, you know what? I gave a list and I'm actually going to move on.
He's amending it, Gibbo.
Yeah, yeah. So Gibbo, listen up. So yeah, I am, because of that pick, I feel like I have to, and you know, I'm going off of how we would draft, like, in real life, right? So, you know, if you go after somebody, I'm like, well, I gotta get this person now just because I want them to kind of combat that. I mean, you talk about Grogu in The Mandalorian, it's only fair to actually go after The Mandalorian in The Mandalorian. So I'm picking Din Djarin, The Mandalorian, as my number two pick. Again, something that I didn't really expect. Now, I was at Star Wars Celebration in 2019 when they had showed a clip from The Mandalorian, and I got super excited about it because I had no context. I really wasn't sure exactly. This was far before you and I had a podcast, so, you know, this is something that was not really on my radar. But when they showed it there, got the poster there, and already at that point, I'm like, oh, this is going to be pretty cool. But by the time the show came out, and you saw, like, you know, what The Mandalorian was, I was, like, really on board with it. Obviously, with the addition of Grogu and everything like that, it was great. But just the whole, you know, I love like a Sabine Wren, for instance, you know, and they're certain of Bo-Katan, you know, they're the people that you knew, but to have, like, an extra character in, kind of the mystery that was Din Djarin for a while, it was just really intriguing to me, and part of this, again, pop culture phenomenon of The Mandalorian. So I had to pick him, and really cool. Let's be honest, Mandalorian armor is just so cool. So gotta have that somewhere on your team.
I like it. I like it. You picked the counterpart to my my guy. I was thinking maybe I'd snag both of them on the same team, but it was not to be. Yeah, Mando is just like such an amazing character. Like essentially the Star Wars equivalent of like any of the classic John Wayne characters. Like he represents that really just cool space cowboy. You know, it's also, I think, for a lot of fans of the original trilogy, I think the reason it's approachable for like that era of Star Wars fans as well, I think it represents in a way a lot of the things that people who saw Return of the Jedi, who saw Empire, felt about what they wanted Boba Fett to be. I think when you think about like how cool Boba Fett was back in the early 80s, and I think about the way that people feel about The Mandalorian, you know, just after the release of the show, or even now to this day, I think I see a lot of similarities in the direction they took the story. And I think the way that people wanted Boba Fett to have more of a story after the original trilogy that didn't quite pan out that way. But so there is that kind of piece of a connection there. Obviously, he's wearing the Mandalorian armor, like you said. And, you know, Boba Fett, of course, had the Mandalorian armor. So all that being said, he's like kind of the poster child of Star Wars television right now. Maybe even more so than Grogu, just because he's, you know, the name of the show and that kind of just comes with it. But that is a great pick. I do like that one too. All right, for my second pick, I mentioned that I've got one character on my list that technically did not originate in the Disney era. I think I'm going to have to go with this character. I think you probably know what's coming, Joey.
Yes, I absolutely know.
I gotta pick my favorite Star Wars character with my second pick, Ahsoka, which I feel pretty good about that as a value pick at number two. I debated on taking her at number one. I was like, you know what? I'll go for like a true Disney character at number one, but I can't let her pass my number two slot. I'd be remiss if I did not select her here. If you've listened to the podcast for a long time, you've probably heard me give at least a dozen tangents on why Ahsoka is awesome. So to spare you the same tangent I've probably said dozens of times before, she is just simply my favorite Star Wars character. She represents to me mainly in the Clone Wars, but also I really liked the way that Rosario Dawson portrayed her in the show. You know, some people weren't super high on it. I actually really, seeing my favorite Star Wars character brought to live action was probably my favorite part about that show, as silly as that sounds. Like, I don't think it was like a certain thing I actually saw in the show itself, or a certain scene, or a certain, like I said, thing that happened. It was literally just being able to see a character that I grew up with put into a different medium. There's something so just satisfying and kind of that just ignites the child within you when you see that. You're like, oh my gosh, that's her, but just like, it's not her, but it is her. You know what I mean? So she represents so much more than that. And to spare kind of the lore side of things and what she really means to Anakin as a character, I'll just simply leave it at that and say that she's my second pick.
Yeah, I mean, Ahsoka was on my list too, so not, and actually would have been next. So there was no way she was getting past, no way she was getting past at least my third pick. But
nice.
Yeah, I mean, the same way, seeing Ahsoka grow up in the Clone Wars and now kind of fully, you know, a full adult, essentially. Some people didn't completely enjoy the acting because she was a little bit more, I saw the word stoic a ton, she was a little bit more serious, but there was moments where you kind of saw the old Ahsoka, you know, there's a little smile or a little smirk here or there, the way she folded her arms, everything, you know. So I think there was something to the way that Rosario Dawson played her, where it was supposed to be that way, but you know, I can't remember what it was, but there was a certain time when maybe it was after the flashback series section that she kind of was kind of a little bit more light, and if I remember right, she was like wearing more like lighter colored clothes and things like that. So all that was on purpose, and I really did enjoy that. So yes, so good pick on that one. All right, number three. So you know how you always have that one guy in your draft, like, you know, you have, you know, you got like 10 friends.
Uh-huh.
And there's always the one guy that like drafts like defense a little too early, or or, you know, maybe a quarterback just a little too early. And so the guy really wants this one, you know.
I'm trying to think where you're going with this pick. I don't know.
So this is more of the reach kind of pick, but you know, but I want to pick them at third to show the importance of how I felt that this character, this actor, really,
I know you're, yeah.
This actor,
he was really on my list too.
Meant to me. Let's see. So number three, I'm going with Chimer. The stranger at Chimer, from The Acolyte. Now I know, again, you're thinking third pick, that's kind of high, but like I said, the importance that it was to me as a one as a Filipino American, kind of seeing that role, really had a huge impact on me. And I mentioned it all through The Acolyte, and how incredible, man, Jacinto was really in it. And I know he's Filipino Canadian, but still, you know, he's definitely was a representing us in a great way. Kind of seeing that, I thought that character was so cool, because it really was, you know, this guy, this smuggler that, you know, you really didn't think twice about, all of a sudden coming out and actually being like the guy of The Acolyte that you had to kind of go up against. So that was really cool for me. It was really important to kind of see that on the screen for me and like all of my friends. We were just completely like, you know, nerding out about him. So very cool. You know, number three pick. Was he a little high on the draft? Maybe, but again, that is the importance that this role was to me for Star Wars.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I had him in my 10 too, believe it or not. Yeah. I went through each of the shows and I was like, all right, like, I'll try to have like at least one representative of each show on my list if possible. And when I got to The Acolyte, I was like, that's got to be the person to select from that show. So he was on my list of 10 as well, and I probably would have eventually picked him up if you hadn't. So I don't think it's like crazy to say that he's your third pick. I don't think it's too high. I think it's a definitely a solidly placed pick right there with him, and his role in the show is just one that I really loved. And you know, as much as the feedback was maybe negative about the show, I'm excited to see him in the second season if it does get greenlit. So all right, my third pick, I'm actually like a little bit on the fence here. I think I know the direction I'm gonna go. I'm just worried if I take the guy who I want to take at number three, that the person I want to take after this guy is not going to be available. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that my fourth pick is a certain person.
Okay.
But I'll put that on hold, because right now for the third pick, I'm going to do probably the more sensible thing. And I'm going to take Cassian Andor at pick number three. This is a character who, for me, is the protagonist in my favorite Disney Plus show. Andor, I think, tops The Mandalorian slightly for me. And between Ahsoka, The Mandalorian, and Andor, any of those three on any given day, I could like make a case for being my favorite. Maybe more so Andor and The Mandalorian than Ahsoka, but the show Andor is really just, I appreciate it a lot, because it feels like a meaningful story that just happens to take place in a Star Wars universe. I think it's the only show that truly feels that way. Like, it's like, oh wow, this is a fantastic show, and it's in Star Wars. Like, it doesn't feel like Star Wars is what's leading the charge with Andor. And I think that's why, for me, and probably a lot of other people, that I enjoy it so much. The flip side of that is that it's also probably the reason why a lot of people don't like it, which is fair. Because he as a character is just kind of like really gritty. I love the way Diego Luna portrays him, because it does have a more gritty tone, and his character has a more gritty tone, especially in the show, maybe slightly less so in Rogue One, because at that point he's kind of gone through his character transformation into being this hero of the soon to be rebellion. But when his character debuted in Rogue One back in 2016, I don't recall having like a huge attachment to the character. I think at the end of the film is when you realize it, most of all, when that sacrificial element comes into play. And then you see where he came from in Andor. And I think it actually elevates the quality of Rogue One. When you're able to see, like, not all, and this is kind of that, you know, good and bad guy thing I have that I really like when they play with the grayness of characters. Like, he is not a good guy in this show for a lot of it. And, you know, you're able to, like, go on that journey with him to the point where he grows, his character progresses, and he becomes a hero of the rebellion from being, you know, starting off as someone who wasn't that way. That, for me, like, that just incredible character transformation throughout the course of Andor so far has been reason why I think he's one of the very few Star Wars characters in the Disney era where we've seen a dramatic transformation of kind of the values that the character holds. And so that's pretty much the biggest reason why I'm going to have him as my third pick. Cassian Andor, pick number three like for it. Me.
Yeah. Outside of, I mean, I think the two shows that I'm really excited for the next season, Andor and Ahsoka. Those are the two that I'm really excited for. Especially with Andor because of they're kind of messing with how much time is passing between, you know, like essentially, what is it, like three episode arcs? That there's going to be, I don't know if it's a year between each of those or something like that. So I'm really excited for that. I'm excited to see what's going to come because that's going to butt up right up against Rogue One. So super excited for Andor. I was really excited, really pleased with that show. That was the first show that you and I actually ever watched together. So, you know, it holds a special place in the hearts of us here at the Hoth Hangout. So great pick at number three, honestly. And yeah. That's a good one. But my fourth pick, I could be that guy and just like pick the dude that I know you're gonna pick, but I'm not.
You think you know who I want to pick at number four?
There is a strategy involved. I think I do, but I will stay with my path.
Okay.
The people, much like your Ahsoka pick, somebody who you really enjoyed in the animated realm to come to life in live action. I think that's a huge reason why I picked this character. She was one of my favorite characters in Rebels. And when I saw Sabine Wren in live action doing Sabine Wren things, I think it was an incredible experience for me. And I want to believe for a lot of other people at for the fourth pick here, for me. And she was doing the Jedi training with Ahsoka, which was incredible for me to watch. Did not think that that was going to be the way that we were going. We'll be honest. I was a little shocked by that. She did survive being stabbed in the torso. One of the many, many in Star Wars world who can withstand a lightsaber through the chest. Or I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact anatomy or angle that she was stabbed at, but. But yeah, so she was definitely somebody who I was excited to see going into the Ahsoka series. And I think she really came through. Natasha Liu Bordizzo was the actress. I think she did a great job. And honestly, I'm excited for Ahsoka season two. Exactly. She's one of the reasons why. And yeah, her portrayal of Sabine was pretty much spot on of what I kind of expected from that character.
Yeah, her role in Ahsoka, I think it was criticized by a lot of people in a way because of like her ability to, you know, I guess pick up on using the Force. I mean, I think something that like is easy to forget is that, you know, I don't know how much time has passed between this point in Ahsoka and the end of Rebels, but it's been quite some time. You know, that Ezra's been stranded out here on Peridia. So I mean. I get kind of the way that people view that, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I didn't think it was much mm-hmm. as much of a sticking point for me,
right?
Especially when it was like kind of laid out over the course of the show that she like couldn't,
right?
And then like you know it was like a gradual thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been one thing if like right away she was able to do like all of these Jedi Force moves. You know, she wasn't able to pick up things right away using the Force, and you know, but so it was a good gradual, you know, progression over the course of the season. Whereas I could see like people being upset about, you know, and I keep bringing this up, you know, Luke. Luke knew the Force and was able to shoot down that reactor shaft like nothing. He had never flown anything like that, and he was able to destroy the Death Star, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair thing to bring up. I mean, prior to being, you know, trained by Yoda, like, Luke didn't even really, or I guess before he received the lightsaber from Obi-Wan, like, did Luke even really know what the Force was? Like, you know, I think there's, we have to be like careful about how we say about some characters versus other characters, you know.
Hey, I'll be that guy. I'll be that guy.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh my gosh, how dare you say that about Luke Skywalker?
That's why YouTube comments, comment sections exist.
Well, hey, your character surviving stabs through the abdomen is definitely a proponent, a pro of her, her character attributes. But all right, my fourth pick. I'm pretty sure you know who I'm going to pick. Out of curiosity, well, I don't know if I should let you guess it or not, because if it's not the person, I don't want it to give away anyone
else. How about you say it, and then I say if that's who I thought it was.
All right. This character is one who, when I first made my list, he was not on there, and then, you know, I did my thing where I went through each of the six shows and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta have him on there. So I actually moved him up a little bit on my list of 10. And the character I'm going with is one who had a not insignificant role in the Ahsoka show. He was the fallen Jedi master to Shin Hati, dark side force user, man of mystery himself, portrayed by the iconic Ray Stevenson in his final role before his untimely passing. I am going with none other than Baylan Skoll. Is that who you thought I was going to pick?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna take that away from you, Ben.
thank you. I couldn't rave enough when you and I were watching Ahsoka about like how much curiosity I had about his character. Anytime Baylan and Shin had a scene, especially when Baylan was like alluding to something that Shin didn't understand, it got you thinking like, wow, there's so much to this character that he's not even sharing with his apprentice. Like, what is his why for this show? He's a man of mystery and an intrigue. And for me, a character like that, where you don't know their intentions and their motivations, and even where the intentions and motivations are dragged out for more than one season, like you can start a season with a mysterious character, and by the end of the season, you still really don't understand the intentions of the character. That for me is exciting and interesting, and it builds excitement, you know, when you head into a season two. Of course, it's a little bit different scenario because of Ray Stevenson's passing. So, you know, kind of with that in mind, it's like, how are they going to do season two? We're not really sure yet. But the character himself just represented like a calm, cool, collected, but mysterious and intriguing character at the same time. And I was super hype about him in general. And then the end of the show happens, and it's like, you know, they're bringing this huge plot line of the Clone Wars TV show with the father, son, and the daughter, and kind of like how they embody the different aspects of the Force, the daughter being the light, the son, the dark, and the father holding the balance between the two. And you see him standing, him being Baylan Skoll, on the outstretched arm of this old ruin of what appears to be the father. And now, once again, we are on a different planet, Peridia, like in a different galaxy. So it's like, how is this happening when it's happening, and what does it mean? And Baylan just feels like the key to all of that. And he's just, you know, probably, I don't know, it's hard for me to pick against Ahsoka, but if I was picking any other favorite character for me personally from that show, it would probably be Baylan. I just loved everything he represented. And his role in the story. So I'm going with Baylan at number four. I couldn't pass up on my guy.
Not shocked at all. I mean, when I was going through my list, he it was the same with me. I kind of almost forgot about him a little bit. And then I did the same thing, went through the show. And I'm like, oh, wait, Balin's there. And I'm like, yep, Ben's definitely picking Balin at some point. So, but it was, I needed him to put him there. If he was available at five, I was going to take him. But at four, he can be yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Last pick for me. Gosh. I got a couple here that I can go off of. Obviously, we can't go after Balin anymore, but I think I'm going to go with a character who really came to life in this series. Someone you and I talked about over and over again, the dialogue that she had had throughout the series, how important her role is, not only with the particular series, but with the Rebellion overall. Was something that I was actually surprised that we enjoyed as much as we did when she came up in Andor. So I'm going to pick at number five, Mon Mothma.
Oh, good pick.
Because she really showed up. Her character did a lot for this series. The actress did such a wonderful job. I can't remember her name right now. But
Genevieve O'Reilly?
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. She did such a wonderful job. The writing for her was incredible. You know, and it wasn't like the boring political side of it, you know, where I feel like Star Wars can kind of go sometimes. It's just like, ugh, this is so boring. It was like truly interesting, her roles in it and, you know, her hands and everything. And let's be honest, if you got a team like this, I got light side user, dark side users, two Mandalorians. We're going to need somebody with some money. So Mon Mothma, I think, could fund this team and do a lot of damage across the universe.
I like that. Yeah, she's the money backing your team, huh? She's almost like single-handedly the reason that Andor is a not just a thriller, but like a political thriller. And I mean that in like the best kind of way. Like, I think it's really hard to do like a political intrigue show. Because like you said, I think when you incorporate politics into a show, it tends to just kind of like turn into a snooze fest half the time. But she does it like really well, and the show Andor does it well. So yeah, Mon Mothma, that's a really good pick. I did not even like, I feel ashamed to say, I did not even think to include her on my list. And now I'm like, wow, she probably definitely would have been in my top 10. So that's a solid pick. Okay, my last pick. So I've used up six of the 10 I had on my original list. So I'm picking between four people. I've not chosen anyone from, with the exception of Andor, I guess, because that's Rogue One. But I have not chosen anyone from a film with the exception of him. And I haven't chosen anyone from the sequels. Come to think of it, I don't think either of us have chosen anyone from the sequels yet, have we?
No, I mean, this was really like a, I thought we were like going after like TV series.
Okay.
That was my understanding anyway.
I had one on my list that was from the films, cause I wasn't sure. So in that case, I guess I'll rule him out. And I'll leave it between the other three. Well, actually, technically one of these is also one of the other ones is also film. So my six and my seven on my original list were both movie characters. So I'll leave them out and make them honorable mentions, because we're going to reveal those when we're done with our lists, which means I'm actually choosing between two more characters from Andor. 9 and 10 on my list were both Andor characters. I think I'm going to go with a character who didn't have a large role in the show, but had a specific role in a couple key episodes, arguably the best episodes, I would argue the best episodes of the second season of Andor. And it might be a biased pick because Andy Serkis is probably one of my three favorite actors. His character work is incredible. He's someone who's no stranger to Star Wars. He portrayed Snoke in the sequel trilogy. He's done all sorts of other characters, probably most famous for Gollum in Lord of the Rings, but he's also done Caesar from the new Planet of the Apes trilogy. But he showed off his acting chops in Andor when he played the role of Kino Loy, who is my fifth pick. Nice. This might be a very out of left field pick, but I'm kind of okay having him at my fifth pick because he really just meant so much to Andor's progression in those, was it two or three episodes? I think it's three, where from the time he gets to the prison to the time they break out. I just felt like I was so captivated during those three episodes of the show, especially. And I feel like he was a huge reason why that was the case. You can tell that he has this like charisma on screen. In fact, of any Star Wars Disney Plus show, probably I think I've been the most like drawn in to a character. Maybe Baylan Skoll is the other exception to this, like Ray Stevenson there. But Andy Serkis as Kino Loy is, I'll make the case. This is my hot take with this pick. Kino Loy is the most underrated Star Wars character of the Disney era. Maybe the most underrated Star Wars character. And I know you and I both made jokes a lot about, like, is Kino Loy actually Snoke?
Right.
We're still waiting for that fan theory to come true. But I really, really hope they bring this guy back in the next season of the show. It would be a shame to not see him reprise that role. So all that to say, I'm going with kind of a left field pick at my number five and going to throw Kino Loy in that spot.
I like it. One way out, right? Was that his
one
his
way out?
That show had a lot of good characters in it, and I don't know what was he in, three episodes maybe?
I think just three. Yeah,
and to have that kind of impact in those, you know, and you know, we don't necessarily see him die, right? They were all swimming off of the prison, so. As you know, in Star Wars, no one's ever really gone. So I'm hoping at some point we do see Andy Serkis reprise his role as Kino Loy at some point, whether it's in another the next season of Andor or just somewhere else, because having him in Star Wars at all, I think, is great. And we had him twice. So I definitely hope we see Kino at some point in the future.
Me too. So how many of your picks on your list of 10 did you not use? Because I didn't use three of mine.
I did not use one. I didn't use two. Because, yeah, it looks like, and we have the entire list here. We had Gibbo show everything that we chose here between the two of us. But between the two of us, there were 15 characters. We see a couple of movie characters. So I guess this was a little bit of a confusing thing because you and I thought we were doing TV. You had some movies in there. So maybe we kind of got our communication crossed at some point. But either way, I think it worked out just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it would have helped if I like bothered to like put to my memory like what the word show means when I read that. I don't know why that like... I had like Jyn Erso in there. I had Kylo Ren in there. So like technically they're not in any shows, but they're movie characters.
Right. Well, yeah.
Luthen was the other Andor character that I was considering picking. I really liked him in that show.
I excluded Darth Vader because I think it would have just been cheap for me to get Obi-Wan and then Darth Vader. So that is one person that I excluded from the final list. But I also had Morgan Elsbeth as somebody who was, if for some reason you also picked Mon Mothma, who I really think was a pretty good pick at number five.
Yeah.
Morgan was going to be my alternate at that level.
Nice. Yeah, this is a solid solid conglomeration of really good Star Wars characters we've got here. So I guess the only natural question to ask is, who did we leave off? Who are some...
Just like someone like super obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Jack Black's character in Mandalorian. I think that was.
Oh, I was gonna have Lizzo.
Lizzo, yeah, or the 360 no scope guy from Obi-Wan, the unnecessary spinning shot.
The I think it's from, is it from Obi-Wan?
I'm sorry,
or from Book from of Boba?
Boba Fett, yeah.
Yeah, the Power Ranger guy.
Yeah. And let it be known that neither of us picked anyone from Book of Boba Fett, is that right?
Yeah, no one from Book of Boba. Let's see. I had one Mando, I had two Andor, and then two Ahsoka.
Right. I guess Mandalorian was technically from Boba Fett, so if you want to.
Yeah,
he had a couple episodes in there. As yeah, so
he definitely carried the show. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Well, once again, let us know your favorite live action Disney Plus series character down in the comments of today's episode over on YouTube, or shoot us your comment on any of the socials or via email as well. And let us know, who'd we leave off our lists? Who would you have had in your top five? Leave your top five down below, even if you like. Who is your favorite Disney live-action Star Wars character? On next week's episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast, episode 93, it's going to be sort of a part one of sorts of a two-part series. Episode 93 and 94 will go together. Episode 93, we are going to be covering the best moments in Star Wars history. Probably going to be doing somewhat more of like a collaborative list-making between the two of us, taking some of the greatest moments within the history of Star Wars and then kind of ranking them from 1 to 10 and seeing what our list looks like in the end.
We'll try not to pick just lightsaber battles, though.
yeah. It's going to be like 8 lightsaber battles in our
top 10. But there will be lightsaber battles, let's be clear.
Yes, definitely so. And then the following week, episode 94, we're going to be looking at some of the not-so-best, some of the lowest moments in Star Wars history. So let us know if you have anything you think should be included on that list. Feel free to drop that as a comment as well. Episode 93 coming next week, the best moments in Star Wars history. Episode 94 coming the week after that, the lowest moments in Star Wars history. Or email us and let us know if you have any thoughts as well. HothHangout@gmail.com. Having said all of that, I want to give you a final reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast, as well as all of our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows when they do come out. Thank you to the 449 of you who are subscribed over there. Getting closer and closer, we are one subscriber away from 450. So if you're not yet subscribed, definitely hit that subscribe button.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, yeah. Get Snoop Dogg in at 450. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the pod. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also does allow it to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. And you can find the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on our picks in today's character draft?
I'm happy with our picks. Like I said, I got light side user, dark side user, two Mandalorians and money bags over here. So I'm happy with our picks. It's always fun, like I said, doing these types of unusual type of podcast episodes when we don't have anything to particularly review. But just being Star Wars fans is sometimes the best thing, and hope you all enjoyed it. Let us know who you would have drafted. I think that's the best part about these episodes, is that we could get to hear everyone else's opinions as well.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, and if anyone has any other ideas for drafts you want to see next, leave those comments as well. Somewhere on the screen right now, you can find a playlist link to all of our past drafts. Droids, Sith, and Jedi. So now we're up to 4. Let us know what you have, if you have any ideas for our 5th draft as well. Lastly, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show, video, and assets, who is the true number one pick of all of our drafts. Shout out to Gibbo behind the scenes for the creation of all those cool assets today for the draft as well. So we appreciate you very much, Gibbo, why am I like struggling to use my B's today? I don't know.
Go Australia.
Yeah. Go Australia. Good luck in the Olympics to Australia. Shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to Snoop Dogg, the would-be hopeful of the next subscriber of the Hoth Hangout podcast. We'll see if that actually happens or not. But appreciate you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this draft of Disney Star Wars live action show characters. Tune in next week when we'll be covering all the best moments in Star Wars history, and the following week, episode 94, all the lowest moments in Star Wars history. And until then, once again, appreciate you all so much for listening. And until next time, may the Force be with you.